Thank you for the song. Lord, the choir sung. What an amazing testimony. I'm glad their song's written. It has biblical content in it. We can see words and hear the words sung, and they move our heart to remind us of what Jesus did for us. And dear Father, now we come again to this service. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. And we pray as we open this book again, we'd have the anointing of the Spirit of God. Help us learn something we didn't know. Help us learn something, dear Father, to help us in this life to see clearly more about you. May you not be a figure of imagination, but may you be the one that we know is real, more so than the flesh we see among us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 106, if you will. You know, it's amazing at times what this scripture hit away sometimes, and you begin reading, and something across touched your mind. Weeks and weeks ago, reading some verses of scripture, and came across a few verses here. And when I read these verses, there are about three of them here. We're going to paraphrase more than that. It's three. I had to find out what he was talking about, and so we're going to read from Psalm 106, but we're going back to Numbers to see what he was talking about in chapter 11. The book of Psalms are revelations of truth, and they are truth in the terms of human experiences. In other words, as Israel's a nation, as individuals go through things in life, and God deals with them in those situations, they end up learning something, and God says these things are written, if we go to the New Testament, for our learning and admonition, and that we might learn not to sin after the things that Israel went after, even in the age of grace. So as I look at these few verses, I come down and see that what's taking place here is the verses that I want to read is 13, 14, 15. Before I read that, I want to bring you up to date. The genealogies of Israel now have come down to a place, and they're reminiscing back what happened within a year's time. We'll go to Numbers and see that in a minute. In a year's time, have been delivered out of the land of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, seen a marvelous miracle of God. God had given them the best nutrition they could have to feed them. No one's going hungry. They were not losing weight. At that time, you find that they were living as best as anyone could live over the wonderful food that God was sending from heaven called manna. And now they're saying in verse 6, we have sinned as with our fathers. The generation later said, we've sinned with our fathers. They said, and have committed iniquity. And he said, we have done wickedly. Now, our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remember not the multitude of mercies. They provoked him, speaking of God, at the Red Sea. He said, nevertheless, God saved them for his name's sake. And then he rebuked the Red Sea for them. And they went across on dry ground. And the waters in verse 11 covered the enemies that were not one of them left. Watch, verse 12, when they saw that, they believed his words, that they sang his praise. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. When they saw the miracle, when they saw what God had done to deliverance, and they believed God at his word and sang praise to him. But look at verse 14. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. That is, they failed the test that God gave them in the wilderness and in the desert. And this was less about a year or more after been delivered from Egypt. How quick they forgot what God had done. And now that's not too much to see, but the next verse is what got my eyes months ago. And I've been looking at this for a number of months or weeks now into a few months. He said, and he gave them their request. Said out loud with me. And he gave them their request. But, boy, it'd been all right if it just stopped there. But God says, but sent leanness into their soul. And that got my attention. And I said, Lord, I want to find what's going on here. So I had to go back and look at these circumstances. And I did weeks and weeks ago and been developed since. Look in Numbers chapter 11 with me, if you will, please. We will go back and see what happened here so we can get what God is talking about here at this time. In Numbers, and chapter 11. In Numbers of chapter 11, we'll see that Israel now is moving from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. And as they move, less than a year in traveling, they began to have the mixed multitude complaining about the food, the wonderful manna, this nutrition, protein, had everything in it nutritionally that's needed for Israel to survive as individuals. But they got longing back for the meat in Israel, or back in Egypt, I'm sorry. And it said in verse 4, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And they said in verse 5, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garden. But now our soul is dried away. This food that was the best that you could have in nutrition, I'm sure come from heaven, had to be the best. And he said, but we find that our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. We're fed up with this manna before us. And we had nothing in weeks and weeks and months but this manna. He said the manna was, told us in verse 7 what it was and how God brought it back. In verse 9, dew fell upon the camp in the night and the manna fell. That's how it came. And the people wept in verse 10. And they began to look back at Egypt as they wept, and they wanted meat instead of the manna. And this displeased God. He was greatly displeased, and so was Moses. And Moses was so displeased, he came to God, and he said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I found favor in thy sight, that thou hast laid the burden of these people upon me? I didn't conceive these people. He said, God, these are not my people, they're your people. Why would you have me this burden, have to look after these people who are so contrary, complaining about what's back in Egypt is better than being where you brought them at this particular time? He said, which should I give them flesh? Where am I going to get the flesh from? I'm not able to bear these people, verse 14, alone because it's too heavy for me. Now, if thou, listen, this is Moses, verse 15, talking to God. He said, if thou deal with me, kill me. If this is the way you're going to treat me, Lord, kill me. Let me die right now. I pray thee out of hand. I have found favor in thy sight. Let me not see my wretchedness. Don't let me, God, end my misery life right now in dealing with these people of Israel, because they're complaining. And I'm hearing the grumbling, but God says, I'm hearing it too. So he said, Israel, he said, Moses, what you do, you pick up 70 men quick. And if you look down the next few verses, now put the Spirit of God upon them. But notice something in verse 19. They said to the Lord, give us flesh. And God said, ye shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month. Watch this. You shall eat. He's talking about meat. You're going to eat till it comes out of your nostrils. Does that sound like God? That's what he said. Hey, you see what that's what he said. Isn't that amazing? What is God to teach them a lesson? And it's interesting as he goes on. And he said, and it be loathsome unto you. In verse 21, he said that Moses said there's about 600,000 footmen alone. Where are we going to get this meat from? And as you look in the story of verse 31, it said, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and broke quail from the sea and led them fall by the camp as a day's journey on this side, on the other side. A day's journey on all the sides of Israel, quail began to come in there. Watch what it said. It said about 2 cubits high. That's about 1.5 feet. That means about 3 to 4 feet. Those quail come right down within 3 to 4 feet. All they had to do was just... And they began to do that. And it says that they took up, in verse 12, 10 homers. And they spread them all abroad on themselves around about the camp. They say that one homer was about 86 gallons. Or around about 50 plus bushels. Each individual got 50 plus bushels. Notice they killed it day, and people stood up all the day, all the night, all the next day, and they gathered the quail. They killed them 2 days and 1 night. Just killing them. And while in verse 32, while the flesh was yet between their teeth, they were fed up with flesh, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. You know why? He called the place of that place Kibroth Hataba. It means grave for the greedy. They were so greedy that they got all of this food And God killed, put a plague, killed a lot of those people. Now, that is what we see happening when he talks about in Psalms 106. And what was doing, it said that here God granted them their request, but he sent leanness to their soul. My topic this morning is this: watch out what you ask for. You may get it and lose what you had. And I mean that. Boy, this blessed my heart as I looked at this the last weeks and weeks. And it takes time to put things together. And I began to say, Lord, is there other cases in the Bible? And I found a number of cases like this. God says, I've done this for you. It's the best in the world. If you can't see that, he said, then what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you your request. But when you get your request, you get what you ask for, you get what you want, you will get it, but you'll lose what you had with me. In other words, if you don't think I have the best for you, then when you get what you ask for, you'll find I want the best. Now, sometimes you can get what you ask for and lose what you had. Here in Numbers 11, Israel began to remember where they came from. And they mixed multitude, began to mix it up with them, and they lusted to go back. And they said, God, we want to go back where we were. We're tired of this manna. Your cooking is just getting on our nerves, and our soul is just completely fed up with it. Back there, we had plenty of meat to eat. Here, we don't have angel food to eat. Our souls are drying up, 11 verse 6. God, we want some meat. What a pitiful situation. When a person is where God would have them be, and then suddenly not be satisfied with it. You hear people say all the time, if I had not got saved, you know, I'd be a wealthy man today. Or I could have made things a little bit different. I believe that my talents would have took me a long ways in other places and so forth. In other words, a lot of times they're saying, well, if I hadn't got saved, I'd had talents, I might have had some open up places. And sometimes you hear tell of people said, you know, I've got a talent been used for the Lord, but if I had been used it somewhere else, then it would be a lot more. Well, let me just say this to you. What one is saying, like, if you'd went the way that, and these are not my names, I got these out of a book somewhere or another, somewhere else, he said, if you went the way that Johnny Trash went and Tammy Why Not went and Barf Brooks went and Reba McEntire went, then you might have had a better deal, huh? No, sir. If you go anyway and leave God out, folks, I'm sorry, you won't have the better deal. And this is the thing. God would have us understand he's in control of this thing. God is not a Mickey Mouse. He's real. And this book is full of stuff that he's telling us in life. And I love this because it has come together for me. And I see many things in the past that God showed me many years ago that I didn't really understand at the time, but we made correct decisions at that time. Here, when you look in Numbers 11, verse 18 through 20, God said, so you do not like my food. You might say, you don't like my cooking. I don't know where he cooked it or why he did it, but it was good. You don't like my food. Okay, I'm going to give you what you asked for, but you're going to lose what you already have. What is that, God? You're going to lose my presence and my food, manna. And when he goes on, as he looked at this, You think if you do not get what you want, your souls will dry up in verse 6. But it's the other way around. If I give you what you want, you're going to dry up. And therefore, I can't use you if you're dried up. I wonder how many times that we have begged God for things, and he said, no, 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 no. But we keep right on request. That's what Israel is doing. A whole nation. They keep right on requesting, 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 and God says no. And then he says, and why, I do not know, but this is what these scriptures said. He said, Israel, I'm going to give you meat that runs out of your nostrils. He said, I don't believe God said that. You better read it then. I read it to you. Well, you got the wrong version. I've got the right version, King James 11. Maybe somebody else may leave it out. But God has said, listen, Israel, I have dealt with you. Look at what I've done for you, and look what you're requesting at this particular time. He says, go ahead. You've got it, but you're going to lose what you already have. So we find ourselves, you get what you ask for, but you can't pay your bills later. We get what we ask for, and we can't maintain what we've been blessed with. We get what we ask for, and we get behind on other things. We get what we ask for, but we can't give to church. We get what we ask for, now we can't even buy a Whopper. We get what we ask for. So God tells the children of Israel that they will get what they ask for, but they're going to lose what they had. Now, when I see that, they wanted meat in Egypt. They got it until it ran out of their nostrils, verse 20 says of chapter 11. They lost God's manna that nourished them. In verse 32, they got their meat. And 3,500 years later, we read about it, and God shows us a great example. God said, you got your meat, but you don't have me. You don't have my presence. In Psalm 106, verse 15, they became lean in their soul and died with a plague, many did, until God saw fit to stay it. Now I have 4 points of my message that I want you to look at with me. First of all, what about today? How does that affect us in the day? I remember reading years ago, John R. Rice said that once he asked God to take away his tears. John Rice wept a lot. And he said, I asked God to take away my tears. And God took away my tears, but he took away my power also. And I began to pray back and ask God to give me my power back. And he said, I lost my pride and I regained my tears, but I got my power back. It's much better to have the power with the tears and have not the tears, not have the power. What a wonderful thing. In Psalms 126, verse 6, the psalmist said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall return again, bringing his sheaves with him. Many people in this day want luxuries of life when they cannot afford the simple joys of life. Preachers, many of them, and since we've got the college here, we talk a lot with fellows who are going through all kinds of troubles and so forth. But then there are those, and there are some preachers that want big churches and leave God's will. And when they do, they lose their fellowship with God and they lose their families. Some boys want some beautiful girl, or some girl wants a handsome boy, and they lose their spiritual joy and their affectiveness for God, because I want to tell you, folks, beauty is not just only skin deep. What's under there may be something else. The church wants a pastor that's a proper pastor. He can talk plain. And he looks like $1 million. And, just that. But I'll tell you, the wrapping don't give you the best material. Amen? I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about churches we're seeing in our day today. They often get a shell with no spiritual life or power from God. Then there's many times mothers and dads, they want happy children instead of holy children. So they have special workers and hire the church by big salaries sometimes in turn to organize the activities more so than teach the Word of God. And then we wonder, why are we losing to the world? We're living a bad time, ladies and gentlemen. Word of God has been set aside or being rewritten. So I say, what about today? We can analyze it about as good as any time in our day. We're in the last days. And it's going to get worse and worse, and God's Word is going to get less and less, and those who stand with it are going to feel the pressure more and more. The second thing I want you to know is this. What God told Israel can also happen to America. Just as sure, because this book is a principle for any age. Israel in 1 Samuel. Turn there with me, if you will, please. Israel in 1 Samuel, if you look with me, in chapter 8. Israel has come now to another place. And here they say to Samuel in verse 1, I'm going to have to paraphrase through this quicker to finish this. They come to Samuel and said, Samuel, you're an old, and you made your sons judges over us because you're from God. You've set sons over us. And they said, your sons are not walking in his ways. They're not walking with God. They turn aside after lucre in verse 2, 3, and they took bribes and pervert judgment, and the verse 4, and then all the elders of Israel get together and came to Samuel and said, Samuel, behold, we don't want your sons govern us when you die. You're old. We want a king. As if God could not take care of his sons when they come to that place. God could replace them as good as they could replace them with a king. But we want a king, and this hurt Samuel. And in verse 4, he said it displeased him. And so he went to God, and it displeased God. He said, Samuel, listen, they ain't rejected you, they're rejecting me. In verse 7, he said, I want you to go back and tell them if they get a king, they can have a king, they can vote for a king, they can have a king. But if they go back and get a king, he said, I want you to know that you tell them what a king's going to do. They're going to take your sons and make them officials of the king's court after his horses and his chariots and soldiers and so forth. They're going to take your daughters and make them bakers and make perfume. They'll be working for the government for absolutely nothing about it all. They're going to also take your fields, verse 14, your vineyards and your olive oil yards and the best of them. And they're going to take a tenth of your seed, and they're going to give to his officers and to his servant. They're going to take your men servants in verse 16 and maid servants, he said. And you're going to come down in verse 18, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king. What you ask for, I'm going to give you. But you're going to cry out because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear in that day. I'm going to give you what you asked for, but when you get it, you've been better off with what you had. You see, there's nothing wrong in asking for things that glorify God. But there's some things will cause us to be just like that, and we see that in America. God told Samuel that Israel had rejected him. He gave them what they wanted, but they lost what they had, and that was God's present, and he said so in verse 18. They wanted a king like other nations instead of the King of Kings. They lost their sons to the work of Saul's chariots. They lost their daughters again to the bakery and to the perfume-making places in Israel because they had a king. They forgot that even good leaders and good men of God sin. David wanted Bathsheba. He wanted her bad. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. And did it affect him? He lost his integrity. He lost his child. He lost his family. Tamar was raped by Ammon. Ammon is killed by Absalom. Absalom is killed in his attempt to take his father's throne. David lost his peace and had the sword in his house the rest of his life. He got what he asked for. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. And Lord God has run this in my heart for months now. God, please put a hedge about me. I've been a lot of things I've wanted here lately. A lot of things I've been asking for, I didn't think much wrong. But I've come to the conclusion, anything I ask for and God don't give it to me, praise his holy name, I don't need it. I'd rather have what I had and lose what I've got. I'm going to tell you that, ladies and gentlemen. He lost the right to build the temple of the God, one he loves so much. But when I think about those two, what about America? What about today? What about America? It looks like that America wants freedom from God. I'm sorry. It looks like they want freedom from the true God. Everybody getting in position, not everybody, but a lot of those getting in position don't care one thing about what God says. As a matter of fact, they believe in God as much so as anyone else. They don't have no standard of what they believe in. In other words, when they talk about a God, they're talking about any God that anybody wants to believe in. They're not talking about a God of the Bible. They're changing the truth of God into a lie. Romans 1, verse 16 to 24. They have kicked God out of our schools and put in humanism. They took out creation and sin-inserted evolution. They're doing away with preachers and putting in psychiatrists. They have put away prayer and put in liberal agendas. America, folks, listen to me. America is paying for what they're doing. The only thing about it is we're so educated, men can't see it. When God cries through the heart of someone about what's going on, someone who will get up, has more expertise and more output as far as the media is concerned to deny it. And because it's on television or in the media, they think they're the superior people, not those little preachers that are preaching hellfire and damnation. It gives clout, you see. America's paying for it today. We have ignorance instead of wisdom. We have a nation of drugs, legal and illegal. We got it both ways. We're trying to fight it. Isn't it an amazing thing that we're actually fighting something that the government's fighting something that we're promoting? Boy, that's self-destruction, isn't it? Fight something that they actually promote. in different ways will have to be done. We have people without character that's leading us in this, in the Congress, in the White House. We have a generation that does not know right from wrong, or they don't want to know one or the other. Because it's a known fact, if you know anything about this book, we're not always right and we're not always wrong, but there is a great movement of knowing what is right and wrong. But you don't have that today. God has given us what they're asking for, but they are literally finding out that when they get it, they lose what they had. And ladies and gentlemen, if our country is doing that right now, I'm going to say right now, I'd rather have what we had in the beginning of this nation than have what we're having right now. Amen. At least whatever they may say about those men had God consciousness. Even those who didn't even profess to be saved had God consciousness. And God took those who were saved and controlled enough that we got what we got in our country today. Amen. We got being done a different way. And what was set up in the beginning when people are reading our Constitution and they're changing it and said, well, it was made to change, there's places to change. And instead of being law, and I'll be honest with you, if the way they're doing that, if they don't change it, they're just not going to do it anyhow. Once something mushrooms and starts, it's hard to stop it. And you're talking about this country. Thank God for that grassroots. And God don't need but a few for him to do things. But this country is fast going towards atheism. You say, well, preacher, wait a minute. Now, a lot of folks believe in God. Folks, if you don't believe in the true God, you're atheists. You can believe any guy. Hey, you can believe any type of God you want to, but if you don't believe in the true God, that person no better than an atheist. You see, we are living in an unusual time. We have a generation that doesn't know, like I said, right from wrong. We have liberated women today who got what they wanted, but they've lost what they had. They've lost their homes. They've lost many times their children. They lost things in their life. They're out of the home now, safely, so to speak, and in a world of temptation where men lust over them all the on the job. Listen, let me tell you something. Men have not lost the lust of a woman. And men, we are to control that. If not, we'll pay a price one day. But I'll tell you another thing is that when we get to the workplace, don't you think sometimes in a workplace because someone seems to befriend you as a lady and you've been liberated, don't you think that that person may not have some other things in mind? You say, well, that's the way it is in this life. Now, no, man at the right time, at the right moment will be who he is, a failure. When I'm talking about the body of flesh. I mean simply the workplace today is a dangerous place to play around with anything when it comes to the opposite sex. It's dangerous. Here they are, they're out of the home safe and in the world of temptation where men lust over them. Successful bosses seduce them because they grow weary of their husband at home. They lose their spiritual chastity. They lose their spiritual purity in mind, if not physically, to the fact that once you bite the bait, the hook's already there. I'm saying to you where we're at, ladies and gentlemen, this life. What about today? Beware what you ask for. Beware what you want. Because you might get it and lose what you had. And I'll tell you, if I look at this at the end, I thought, and I mean this from the depth of our soul. We as a nation, we as individuals, we with homes, we with schools, we need the old-fashioned touch of God. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we need it. These people can belittle it all they want to in this world, but we need God's touch because that's the only thing going to turn us around. Our frame of mind must not go the way of the world. Our frame of mind must be led by the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you and I, that directs us in this life about who we are and what we're doing, and realize if Satan gets us going in a direction that's away from God, we better beware because God might let us get what we asked for and lose what we had. I'm not talking about losing salvation here. If you're saved, you've not got to worry about that. So I'll live like the devil. I'll live like I want to then. Well, if that means like the devil, you're just headed down a path you don't want to go. If you're saved, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a responsibility that comes with that for you and I in this life. Without the touch of God, we tread the reality of God for the flesh. We trade the reality of God for the flesh. And God says, no. People get the men and women they think they want, and they lose their family and even eventually lose the ones that what I'm seeing now, some people come back and tell us now, not only did they lose the first family, they lost the one they left the family. Okay, I don't know how to say it. They lost the one they went to lost them too. I mean, sin, it works all the time. Children trade the loving authority of their parents for the authority of others. They think the parents don't really care, but God gives parents that do care. And when they trade them, who do they trade for? What the government has to say, what the gangs have to say, what the military has to say. I want to tell you, the government, nor gangs, nor the military will ever love their children like a mother and dad does. I don't care where they're at. I don't care what they say. A mother and dad will love you enough to tell you the truth. A mother and dad will love you enough to say, listen, I love you with all my heart, but I will not condone what you're doing if sin's in it. Where the government may say, well, that's your thing. Go ahead. Just be sure we'll be there and happy if you have needs. They don't get it. May God help us to see the good and lose the bad. To this world, it may look like that we who are saved have lost everything to this whole world. It may look like we don't have any fun at all. It may sound like that when a preacher preaches the truth of God's word, and the world will say all he wants to do is cut out all the fun in this world. No, that's not it. If fun can honor God when you're having it, not a thing wrong with that. Not a thing. But I'll tell you, they don't understand. They may say that looks like we lost everything in this world. But I want you to know, we have fellowship with God. We have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have something they don't know anything about, and they don't care until they come to the place to hear they need Jesus Christ and trust Him as Savior. And then they'll understand what we're talking about. Here we are. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so as I think about these two events here, and I look what happened, God said to Israel, I'm going to give you what you want, but you're going to lose what you had. And you're going to find out that my presence and my help is more important than anything else in this world. But I'm not going to be there for you. For the child of God, He's not going to leave us forsaken. He said He wouldn't do that. But be sometimes you and I cry to God and wonder where He's at. Lord, my prayer's getting no further than the ceiling. I don't understand where I'm at. And God will bring us back to where the pride's knocked out, and we'll come back humble before Him. We'll keep talking about this morning. Humble before Him. And suddenly you realize, boy, I had it better when I was where God wanted me to be. May God help us to be careful. We may get what we asked for and lose what we had. The favor of God. The fellowship of God. Be careful to not get sidetracked and lose God's best in this life and the life to come. Watch out for what you ask for. You may get it and lose it. One time Mark 8 tells us that Jesus said, for what shall a man profit? He said, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And the amazing thing that people will listen to the gospel of Christ, which is the only thing that can draw a heart to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can listen to that and sometimes know and say, well, yeah, I know I believe that. I believe God do that if I trust Him. But I'm not quite ready right now. I'm not quite ready to do it right this moment. And they get sidetracked. And they go for something they think is best and lose the best that God had to offer. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this world is set up on economics. And I know this world is set up on a lot of things as far as materialism and other things. But it's one thing for sure. A fellow told me many years ago, and I believe this all my heart, if we take every amount of wealth in this world and pile it in a pile somewhere or another in a million-acre field, and it reached miles into the air, every wealth in economics, in minerals, everything in this world that had any wealth to it at all, it'd be miles and miles wide, miles and miles high. And he said, if you had that, it wouldn't be worth one soul. Not even mine. Not even mine. These two events, and by the way, these other, I can't go, the time's gone. My God, I thank you for the last 3 months and bits and pieces of this. I thank you for putting it together. God, keep my mind alert. No one else. I've had most time walking with you on this. They've heard the last kind of 30, 40 minutes. I've been walking with you for weeks now. If no one else gets anything, help me learn what you told Israel. I'm going to give you what you asked for. You're going to get it. You don't meet, you'll get it run out of your nose. But you're going to lose what you had. And it's my presence, my help. You're going to come and ask for me, and I'll not be there because you consider something more important than what I said. Dear Father, if one here this morning don't know Christ as Savior, listen by the Ustream in a few minutes or by way of radio. Please help them see that God says, I'm the way, the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Heavenly Father, let them see. If they turn down Christ, and God says when that happens, this called, it's like trampling the blood of Christ. Trampling on it as if it has no meaning whatsoever. And Peter called that blood precious blood. They're literally turning down the best thing in this world that could help them now and eternity. Don't let something in life pick someone who you're dealing with about eternal life, pick someone out who has eternal life, because they may have somewhere down the road asked for something and got it and lost what they had. And now that person looks at them and their father, they won't get saved because they say, hey, I'm as well off as that person is. I'm better off. My Father, we have a responsibility. Please help us understand that. Bless your people. Dear Father, we have a lot of decisions to make. I know Barbara and I had served you 51 years. We've had terrible decisions. We've made some foolish ones. We've suffered the consequence. Same time, dear God, we made some good ones, but it took years for us to see the effect of it. Bless someone today that's hurting, please, God. Bless someone today that's hurting. Give them insight. Give them direction. Help them to see you love them more than anyone else. Someone listen by radio in a few minutes. You may hear this. I believe they hear this. They're right at the point, not knowing what to do. And they can get an answer. Holy Spirit, use the message for the glory of God. And help us all realize nothing is worth anything in this life if it hinders me from serving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.